Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
And hot damn, here we are, week 10 already of the college football season. Welcome in to BetMGMU alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. Make sure you're watching the show on YouTube. Search for the BetMGM Network. You know you can take us in podcast form wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. Just search for BetMGMU and always on the BetMGM Network every weekend, getting you ready for everything going on across the college football landscape this week. A few big games to talk about, some ranked matchups in the SEC. Of course, there's always a couple of those every weekend. A big one in the Big 12 late Saturday night. We might even get to an interesting one in the ACC, plus the playoff numbers. Those are bouncing around. What's the potential bracket look like right now? What's it projected to be? And what bets would we make in that regard? But it's a weekly thing now. We got to talk about the coaching carousel because there's a new opening. And this one is a big one. Is it necessarily the most attractive one? That is a great question. But Brian Kelly is out at LSU after a little more than 3 years on the job. Of course, LSU, a terrible, ugly home loss to the Aggies last weekend, 49-25, outscored 4-1 in the second half. And Brian Kelly and his family will now head back to wherever Brian Kelly calls home. It won't be in Baton Rouge. The buyout, approximately $54 million, one of the largest in college football history. We'll see how LSU and the state of Louisiana decide to pay for it. One guy who was not happy about the idea of how they're going to do all that, in one of the most sideways press conferences ever, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry talking about it in the midst of, I don't know, I think he was talking about food stamps and stuff and the government shutdown, and all of a sudden Brian Kelly came up.
No, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee and they're going to go find us a coach.
Okay, I only got the most Louisiana sounding governor of all Louisiana sounding governors. Jeff Landry, there was something about a Board of Supervisors, I think. there was a lot in just about 9 seconds there, John. Before that, you could have very easily told me that LSU would be the most attractive opening of all the big school openings that we've got. LSU, Penn State, Florida. And I'd be like, yeah, sure, it's LSU. And after that, I go, wait a second now. I'm going to have to indirectly work for that guy, right? What is the most attractive job on this very ugly coaching carousel then, if it's not LSU, because you got to worry about the governor, Jeff Landry, breathing down your neck?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is a disincentive, you know, that you're, you know, wading into those political waters. I don't want to have to like talk to the governor of Louisiana if I lose a top 25 matchup, you know?
Right.
But I would say it is slightly better than Florida. I think they have the same problems. I do. Because the expectations are so high that if you don't win a championship, you know, you're going to get fired. But I do think that because of LSU's more recent history and proven ability to do that than Florida's, I would give them the edge. But I don't think it's Penn State because, you know, Penn State's going to be expected to beat Ohio State. And if you don't beat Ohio State, you get fired. And I don't like it's really, really freaking hard to beat Ohio State. No, by the way, like Indiana's there and Oregon is there. So I think it's LSU by a very, very thin margin. But all of these jobs kind of have the same problem. It's just who has the best resources and ability to sort of overcome the challenges. And I think that's still probably LSU.
Yeah, it look, this is a weird – LSU is a weird one because when I was in college and I was in Tennessee from 97 to 02, LSU was like an afterthought. The entire SEC West was an afterthought. Ole Miss stunk. Bama stunk. LSU stunk. Arkansas had like – they had a day. You know, nothing great, right? But, you know, it just it doesn't make sense that they were bad. They were all bad for that stretch. I don't know that Florida's not the best job. I always thought my random thought was that Florida and Texas were the two best jobs because neither program had to leave the state to sign a single national championship caliber team. Mm-hmm. They could have just stayed in state, got the best players from their state, and they were instantly national title contenders. That's how I looked at it. But LSU, I mean, everybody from Louisiana goes to LSU. If you're a good player, you don't leave. So that's probably why it is the best. You know, I think Florida's right there. But you're right. I mean, I think they all have the same and a lot of the same problems. Like Penn State, you know, their problem is going to be in-state recruiting. They don't have enough. There's not enough great in-state players. There's a lot
right
in Pennsylvania, but it's not Florida. It's not Georgia. It's not Texas. And Florida's problem is something's gone wrong there for the last 15 years. For whatever reason, since Urban Meyer, they can't get out of their own way. They're great in basketball. They do great in baseball, right? They do all these sports they do really well in. For whatever reason, football is like falling behind. The one thing that should never fall behind in the state of Florida has fallen behind, and I don't get it.
Well, I would chalk that up to, you know, you made a good point, Choppy, late 90s. Half the SEC, I think you could fairly call garbage, right? And the SEC has built themselves off the back of these massive TV deals over the course of the last 10, 15, 20 years to become the preeminent conference in college football by a head. They're out there ahead of the Big Ten right now. And so it is so much more competitive in the SEC. Great players from all over the country go to the SEC. You don't just have to be from the South. And I think it's made the conference as a whole much more competitive. And I think you could easily argue Florida hasn't kept up with that. You know, the days of Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, and that was it, are no more in the SEC. You got 8-9 programs that it feels like are going to compete on an annual basis. And then you start to throw a Vanderbilt in there, right? You start to throw other programs because of the NIL ability. You bring in Texas and Oklahoma, and I think Florida has failed to keep up with the Joneses, John, in the SEC. And I don't know if it's so much them taking a step back. It's just the rest of the SEC has moved forward to join them and surpass them over the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is exactly right. And obviously, the issue becomes is that the perception from the fan base and the boosters involved probably does not mirror that. So when you walk into a job where like the perception is already distorted about this, again, it's a freaking amazing job. Okay. Like LSU is if we're talking about like strip away everything, LSU is an amazing job. Penn State's an amazing job. Florida's an amazing job. But like you want coaches to come to that job from other head coaching spots, right? You don't want to hire an assistant. You want to hire somebody that's already proven, that's already done it or doing it somewhere. And I think where you lose people like that, like Elaine Kiffin, right? Where you lose people like that is that you guys can't agree on what's possible at that job anymore or what a fair expectation is at that job anymore. Like you haven't quite accepted that the parity in the sport has never been greater. Like you think no matter what, we should always be elite. We should always be beating Ohio State. And I get it because the investment is there. The investment is crazy, but the investment's crazy everywhere. The playing field is level. And I don't think for the most part the powers that be at these jobs accept that. And so that's why, like, Lane could very well stay at Ole Miss, for example. I don't know that he will. I don't have any information on that, but he could stay at Ole Miss. And maybe some people will be shocked by that. Not me. I will not be shocked by that at all.
Wouldn't surprise me if he stayed. I think he should stay. You know, you go to LSU. You know, Brian Kelly was the first coach at LSU since Jerry DiNardo to not win a title. That's it. I mean, it's a long time. It's a long time. You know, and when you go to Florida, you're expected to do what Spurrier and Urban did. You know, like the pressure at these places is just so high, and it's so unrealistic. And I don't care where you are. I mean, Ole Miss probably has it best because they're like, all right, you know what? We want to win. We expect to win, but we're not like we're not crazy. The other places are crazy.
Yeah, you know, that's the irony of this thing, Choppy, is that in a world where the playing field is being leveled even more than ever before, and there's so much more parity, these are three jobs where the expectations are of the highest magnitude outside of maybe Ohio State, right, and Alabama. I mean, these are places where they want you in the national championship conversation every year, whether it makes sense or not, whether you've been bypassed by the rest of the conference like Florida, whether you've got a mountain to climb that you just haven't been able to over the last decade and a half, like Penn State. You're going to have to get through Ohio State and Oregon and Cignetti at Indiana and Michigan in good years where they're up. And then at LSU, where, like you said, the last three head coaches have all won national championships. And so the playing field is finding itself more level than ever because of NIL. And these whoever fills these jobs, whoever it's going to be, and it's not going to be Matt Rhule at Penn State just signing an extension in the last couple of days at Nebraska. It's not going to be Kurt Cignetti getting poached. I would tend to agree with you guys. It's probably not Lane Kiffin. Why would you jump to one of those spots when you can get paid at Ole Miss and you've got a playoff caliber roster at your feet? So it becomes more and more pressure at these three jobs in particular, with probably less and less of a chance to pay off on expectations.
Yeah. Do you imagine if Vandy makes the college playoff before Florida or before LSU? You're the AD, the school president. How do you look at your – you have to do an inventory of your organization, of your athletic department. If Vanderbilt, very possible. They're like two wins away. They're two road wins away. Very possible. If Vanderbilt makes the college playoff before Florida or LSU, you're the chancellor, you're the AD. You have to do a complete reconstruction.
Yeah, and this is what opens it up to – who wants these jobs? And look, you put enough money in front of somebody, they'll say yes. But I think, you know, like, I'm getting texts from people as a Penn State alum. Oh, what about Elko? Why would Mike Elko right now leave College Station to go to Penn State other than several large suitcases filled with cash? I mean, that's it. So, you know, if you're in an established spot, I think this coaching cycle, we're going to see a lot of coordinators, maybe, you know, Hartline is a realistic expectation, maybe, for Penn State. You're going to see a lot of group of five guys maybe jump at an opportunity. But I don't know if any of those names, John, really light it up at these three places in particular that we're talking about.
Oh, they're not. But that's the guy that you're going to be able to get now. I mean, that's, you know, your Alex Golishes, your Ryan Silverfields, your John Summerall's, those guys, right? Like, and I, you know, for the most part, the success rate of those guys jumping from the American to the group of five, or to the Power Four, is not great. Like, the example that I can think of right now, that the only one that I can think of that, like, it's a true started in the American and made the jump, right? Didn't start as a power, then dropped down and got back. I'm talking about a guy that started the American and jumped up, is RJ's coach, Josh Heupel. He was at UCF and then he got hired by Tennessee, and he's obviously done a really good job at Tennessee. But Tom Herman got fired at Texas. Mike Norvell is going to get fired at Florida State. Justin Fuente got fired at Virginia Tech. You know, we could go down the list here, you know, of guys that came from the American. So I do think there will be a hesitation on this, but it's like, what are your options? I mean, you want sitting head coaches with experience. You know, you're not getting SEC to SEC anymore. I think those days are over.
I could see Elko doing it though. I really could see Elko. His rotation schedule is Texas and LSU every year. Yeah. That's starting next year. That's a tough, I mean, that's, you got to factor in, you're at least splitting those. And,
yeah,
you know, A&M is never, they've always been snake bit. I could see it. I don't think it's likely, but I could see it.
We'll see where the coaching carousel turns next. As I mentioned, Matt Rhule signed an extension at Nebraska. He'll be in Lincoln through 2032, at least according to the terms of that contract. We've got games to talk about, though, and how are we going to bet them? Two big ones in the SEC, one late night in the Big 12 that could affect the CFP picture for that conference. We get into all those next right here on BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Some of our best bets for the weekend coming up in about 15, 20 minutes from now. Plus, we'll take a look at the updated CFP numbers. Who do we like, especially for some of those spots that are considered on the bubble? Are there some numbers out there that we would like to bet given the value that may or may not exist on some of those teams? But we got some big matchups to preview this weekend. Let's dive into the biggest ones of week 10 around college football alongside RJ Choppy and John Martin. I'm Chris Mack. Don't forget, you can always download us in podcast form. Just search for BetMGMU. Let's start in Austin. Vandy, Texas, noon Eastern, 11 Central kick on Saturday. This is strength against strength, John. This is the 10th ranked defense in the country. Texas, 14.6 points a game is all they're giving up. This is the 12th ranked offense in the country. Vandy scoring better than 38 points a game. Texas had to storm back to take care of Mississippi State last week. That was a week after an upset loss at Kentucky. Vandy ground out that win over Missouri, although the Tigers were without their starting quarterback for the bulk of that game. One interesting number here that I think is worth considering, Steve Sarkisian, 21-3 at home with the Horns since 2022, and this is their first true home game against a power conference opponent, John. They had the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma, which counted as a home game. But other than that, I think the last team they played at home was Sam Houston State. So does this give them a chance to sort of find their equilibrium going back to Austin and getting a Vandy team that, like I said, had to kind of grind out that win over Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, obviously what Vandy has done has just been, and Diego Pavia, I mean, it's been one of the greatest stories in college football. There is no question about that. What I would argue is that the majority of it has been in Nashville, right? I mean, which is true of a lot of teams. But I mean, they go to Alabama, they got handled at Alabama, beat LSU, which fired Brian Kelly a couple weeks later, and is now out of the top 25. And like you said, grinded it out against Missouri at home. I mean, I think it's a great story, but I think the market is probably, you know, their sniffer is probably on the right track here with Texas. I mean, it's not a bet that I would like run to make, but my guess is directionally it will be correct. You know, we're waiting on that breakout game from Arch. You know, maybe this is the week.
If he plays, yeah, it's like, you know, or how well he plays because of the concussion protocol, you know, like,
right,
I should say,
right.
It's how well. And that's the thing, you know, it's always scary because, you know, you're not usually, let's just look at the NFL. You're not usually in concussion protocol 48 hours before the game. You're either right out of it, you're out of protocol, or you're not playing at that point. So, you know, what happens there is still up in the air. I kind of agree with you, though. I mean, a lot of Vandy's, a lot of their numbers and a lot of their schedule has come at home. They did win at South Carolina. We all know how that team has you know, been altered since then. They did win at Virginia Tech. We know what's gone on since then at Vautech. So I don't really know what to make of Vandy. I think Vandy clearly should be, I shouldn't say clearly, but they should be the underdog here. They probably should be the underdog of the remaining road games, the favorites of the remaining home games. That's the way it is for most teams. The road has become the great equalizer. They did not play well at Alabama. I don't know that the offense is going to play tremendous here. Texas has got a really good defense. I think the under, I could absolutely be talked into the under on this one as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my first look on this one also, sitting somewhere in the 45 to 46 and a half range, especially with Texas's defense. I think they will be a big equalizer in this one. I think it does sit within a field goal either way. You made a good point, Choppy, about Vanderbilt having two big road games left, not just in Austin this weekend, but then the final week of the season, they go to Knoxville to take on your Vols. In between now and then, they got Auburn, a bye week in Kentucky. So there is the opportunity here for Vandy, and we'll get to playoff odds, like I said, in about 15 minutes or so. But there is an opportunity here for Vandy to make that final game of the year in Knoxville sort of a de facto playoff game, right? Winner is in, loser is out. We'll see what happens with Tennessee, and we'll get into them as they host Oklahoma here in just a minute. But this is a massive game for Vanderbilt to prove that they legit belong in this CFP conversation. Going to Austin is 2.5-point dogs. Again, might be a part of our best bets before we wrap up the show here in just a couple of minutes. Oklahoma, Tennessee, I just mentioned this game, John. This one has a total sitting somewhere in the 56 range, 55, 56. Tennessee's failed to hang at least 34 points just once, and that was on the road in Tuscaloosa 2 weeks ago. They're averaging better than 45.5 points a game. You can see why when you look at their early season non-conference schedule, but the offense has kept it up. Second most points in the FBS. This is the Oklahoma defense, though. Again, strength against strength in this matchup as well. Are they maybe the defensive version of Tennessee? Because that's what they're riding on right now. Everything is on the Sooners' defense, especially since John Mateer has looked human at best the last couple of weeks since returning from hand surgery. Just 2 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions. They all came in that first game back. But the big difference here, I think, John, the turnover differential. Oklahoma minus 6 this year. That's 117th in the country. Tennessee plus 5 is a top 25 mark in turnover differential. Maybe that's the difference. If John Mateer comes out and looks like himself again, like he did early in the season, that could be the key to Oklahoma upsetting Tennessee on the road in Knoxville. But it's a field goal game, and I think this goes the way of Tennessee's offense. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I love the over. I do. I do think this is just going to be a high octane game. I mean, I think Aguilar's shown that, you know, he's a legitimate passer in this offense. It's been a great fit between coach and quarterback. And I don't mind an Oklahoma fade. I mean, I really don't. I have not really been that impressed with them whatsoever the last couple of weeks. Maybe Mateer's coming back too early. You know, that performance against Texas was just downright embarrassing. You know, they were 5-6 point favorites against Ole Miss. So they seem like they are definitely trending in the wrong direction. So I don't mind a fade of Oklahoma here whatsoever either.
I am on the over as well. Look, Tennessee could score on just about anybody, especially at home. They're a different track meet at home. But there are some 7-on-7 teams in Texas that could score on Tennessee's defense. That is the reality. That is an awful, awful defense. You could throw on them all day. You could throw on Oklahoma's defense, you know, the back end. They stopped the run pretty well, but I think this thing has got a lot of points written all over. If this thing is not in the 60s total, I'd be surprised, you know. So I like the over this one. The side of this, I would probably lean Tennessee just because they're at home, but I never have any faith. I don't think you can trust either one of these teams, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it sets up interesting, the schedule. I keep focusing on that because we will talk playoff numbers in the final segment here in a couple minutes. But Oklahoma is going to get a chance to lick their wounds a little bit, regardless of what happens in Knoxville. They'll get a bye week, but then congratulations, you get to go to Tuscaloosa and Alabama is rolling. And then they wrap up at home against Missouri and LSU. So, look, every game is a must-win for Oklahoma at this point if they want to stay in the playoff conversation. We'll see if their defense can carry them to it and if Mateer can look better. Tennessee, on the other hand, after this one, they'll get a bye week, and then it's New Mexico State at home before they go to Florida and then host Vanderbilt again in what may be a de facto win-and-you're-in kind of game in the final week of the regular season for the Vols. Massive game in the Big 12 because the Big 12 is still wide open. This one will kick late around 10:15 Eastern, 8:15 Mountain Time. Let's give some love to the Mountain Time Zone. Why not? Utah hosting Cincinnati, a massive game for the top of the Big 12. Utah, fifth in the country. They are averaging 267 yards a game on the ground. Looks like they're going to get Devin Dampier back for this one as well. They're scoring a ton, top 15, I want to say 11th in the country, almost 39 points a game, doing it really by converting a lot of third downs, 54%. Cincinnati can score as well, but they're just 128th, John, in time of possession. They count on a lot of big plays. Utah will do the exact opposite. They'll want to possess the ball, grind it out. I mentioned the rushing numbers. Total sits at 55.5, I believe it is, in that neighborhood. And Utah favored in this one. The home field advantage is a big one. We've talked about the altitude before. Anywhere from 8.5 all the way out to 10, John.
I like Cincinnati at 10. I mean, I know that there were a lot of sharps that played Utah 7, but 7 and 10 are two different numbers. I just like this Cincinnati offense. I do. I think they can find a way to – I know Utah is coming off that beatdown of Colorado, but that Colorado program is an absolute disaster. I mean, it's been – you know, and I know there's a lot of stuff going on, health issues with Coach Prime and things like that, but they have not adjusted to the post-Shadour era well at all. So I don't necessarily – put a ton of stock into the margin in that one. I think the Cincinnati team is good. I mean, I liked them in the Big 12. We talked about their odds last week. You know, I liked them as a long shot. I'll take the 10 here and kind of play my odds with that. I mean, I think they can find a way to, you know, keep this close within one score. So I'm going to take the Bearcats in that offense.
Man, I don't hate the 10. I don't hate taking the 10 with Cincinnati. One thing that scares me though is that these Utah teams, man, when they get you at home, they boat race you. It is a sight to see. It really is. It doesn't matter if it's BYU or Utah. Hell, Utah State might even do it. I don't know. But it's that is one thing that would scare me and scare me away from taking a team. I don't know. I can't think of the last. I don't think Cincinnati's been here, like, ever. It sounds like it just would be a complete new situation for them. So I would probably, I don't hate taking the 10 with Cincinnati, but if I was going to pick, I'd probably go the Utah route.
Yeah, it is the first ever meeting between these two programs. So the Bearcats have definitely never been out to Utah to face the Utes. I keep, again, referencing schedules after this one. It'll be a bye week for Utah. I don't know if there's a way they work, unless things get really squirrely with the top four teams in the Big 12. You got BYU and Cincy, both undefeated in conference. You got Texas Tech and Houston, each with one loss. I don't see Utah worming their way into the Big 12 championship game, but it's the Big 12. Literally anything can happen any given week, so nobody's really ever out of it, maybe. It still is, I think, a one-bid league, as I've mentioned a couple times this year. But an opportunity, I think, here for BYU, definitely, to, Cincinnati, to stake their claim as the team right there with BYU, and maybe those two end up bound for the Big 12 title game. Let's talk about that other one-bid league, because there is a game that I think is worth talking about in the ACC. It's a noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central kick between Miami and SMU. Canes favored anywhere from 10.5 to 12.5, depending on where you find it. Their defense has been suffocating this year, allowing just 270 total yards per game, only 87 on the ground, and only 14 points a week. SMU has struggled to run the ball. I don't imagine they get it going against Miami. They're coming off an ugly loss at Wake Forest. But the 3 weeks before that, they put up a total of 100 points against Syracuse, Stanford, and Clemson, for what it's worth. I don't know about you, John. I'm still trying to get over the 4-INT game for Carson Beck against Louisville and figure out if that was an apparition or if that's a sign maybe of things to come. Maybe it doesn't come against SMU, but they are on the road in this spot, Miami, trying to avoid another speed bump here on their way to presumably a playoff spot.
An apparition, like a ghost? You mean aberration? You mean aberration?
I mean aberration, not an apparition.
You don't mean apparition?
Did I say apparition?
Yeah, you mean apparition, yeah. It is Halloween. It is Halloween, man.
That's what I was doing.
Hey, he was seeing
that. I was trying to make a Halloween reference.
That's the.
Why don't you stop busting my balls and talk about the game, John?
There you go.
That's why, hey, you know, it's not easy to attempt big words on this show, all right? That's what happens. But no, he was seeing apparition.
I've got to stop and consider whether you two are actually going to understand him or not, and then I get confused and use the word anyway.
Blame the victim.
I'm not.
Blame the victim. But no, I mean, I actually, weirdly enough, watched the entire SMU Wake Forest game, and I think it might be the worst college football game I've ever seen. I mean, I honestly, just go look at the highlights. The first, it'll be a 2-minute video. Neither team, I think there was like 8 combined turnovers. Neither team could score a touchdown. I mean, and you're talking about teams that were getting inside the 10-yard line and act like they, you know, it's like their first time, you know. Remember your first time, you know, you were putting it down, you know, you didn't know what you were doing. That's how they looked, right?
Unfortunately, this didn't end as quickly as that did.
No, exactly. No, this continues. Against all odds. I can't take SMU. I can't say they have no clue what they're doing. I'd have to lay it with Miami.
Yeah, you watched that whole game. Rhett Lashley did not watch that whole game. I guarantee you that. He turned the tape off.
Crazy.
Dude, so, Chris, you said this is maybe a one-bid league. Miami's going to steal a bid here. Because if Virginia and Georgia Tech win out, they're going to go to the ACC championship game. And then Miami, what's going to be an 11-1 team that gets left out? Like, they're going to steal a bid. So, like, if you're a bubble Big Ten SEC team, you better hope Miami loses or Virginia loses. That's what you really need to hope for. Or Georgia Tech loses and loses again. It can be squirrely for them. But this is SMU's not very good, right now, and that's surprising because this was a playoff team last year.
We'll talk about some of those teams that could be bid stealers, to use a March Madness terminology there. And whether those apparitions or aberrations exist in the college football playoff picture, we'll tell you some of the numbers that we like the value on for teams that might make, might miss, and give you some of our best bets for the weekend as well. Coming up next, right here on BetMGMU.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back into BetMGMU, live coast to coast on the BetMGM network, always available in podcast form as well, wherever you get your audio. Just search for BetMGMU alongside John Martin and RJ Choppy. I'm Chris Mack. We'll get you our favorite bets of week 10 in the college football world in just a couple of moments, maybe a little pizza money parlay from Choppy as well, and just set the table for what's going to go down this weekend, because it is the last one before we get the first set of college football playoff rankings on Tuesday. All kinds of different projections out there. I looked up USA Today. I looked up Heather Dinich and ESPN, Joel Klatt, Fox Sports, CBS. And you get the same common theme. The top two teams in the Big Ten and the SEC have those four spots right now that would get by. So you're talking Indiana, Ohio State, Alabama, Texas A&M. Things start to open up when we look at that next set of teams, the teams that may host games on campus the first weekend of the college football playoff. You see a lot of Georgia, though. You see a lot of Ole Miss and Oregon. And then, you know, a little sprinkling of Georgia Tech, Texas Tech, BYU, Miami in there definitely in a couple spots. And then you really get to the bubble teams in the 9 through 12 spots in all of these projections, John. That's where we're talking about Vanderbilt, Tennessee, who I mentioned may have an elimination game the final week of the regular season. That's where you start to see your American teams. I should ask for your expertise, Mr. American Conference, on South Florida, Tulane, North Texas, and, of course, your Memphis Tigers. Let's start there. Let's start with the American Conference, because that looks like it's going to give us our group of five representative. Tulane right now plus 250 to make the playoff. Then you get South Florida at 350, North Texas at 4-1, and Memphis at 550. How does the American shape up with just 4 weeks left in the regular season?
I mean, just based on those prices, I don't know how Memphis is plus 550. I mean, I don't, that just doesn't really make any sense to me, because if they went out, they are in, and they will host the thing. Now, you could say, well, they, you know, will they win out? Great question. I don't know. I mean, they have to. They do play Tulane, but it's at home. They do play Navy, but it's at home. They just beat South Florida, like, who is the class of the league, or at least was before last week. So, I think if I'm betting that market, it would be Memphis plus 550, because they're going to host the game. If they're in there, they're going to host the game, and Memphis does not lose at home. So, I don't necessarily understand the. I don't think Tulane has been that dominant this year. I mean, they're good like they always are, but I don't think they're this team that I don't think they're as good as South Florida, who Memphis just beat. So, I mean, I'd be on Memphis in the plus 500 range for sure, because you know, if they're in the American Championship, the odds are it's going to be in Memphis, which is a huge advantage.
Yeah, for me, in order to place a bet on one of these kind of long shots, air quotes, they've got to control their destiny. All right. I actually like Virginia. It's you know, set plus what, 750, 760. If they win out, they're in the ACC championship game against right now Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. And then Georgia Tech's not unbeatable. You know, like, that's not an unwinnable game. And with those kind of odds, those are very favorable. That's a very good number of all these teams. That's a pretty solid number at plus 760 to make it. So I kind of like the Virginia angle. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, you know, but I could talk myself into it, you know, just because they do control some of that destiny. Just keep winning.
Yeah,
just keep winning.
They still got a trip to Duke in a couple weeks, and they do have the rivalry game to wrap things up against the Hokies. Yeah. For what,
and the Cal game this week, that's out west. Yeah. That could bite them. They haven't played great football. They've gotten a little lucky.
There are a couple teams from the ACC headed out west. We talked about Miami going to SMU, but I think Pitt's headed to Stanford as well on a really big number too. I'm going to say it's like 14 or something. But both of those teams in the ACC headed out west, I would kind of pump the brakes on this week in particular. I love Georgia Tech. I know they're beatable, but I think as far as the landscape of the ACC is concerned, you give me Haynes King over just about any other quarterback in that conference right now, and I really like Georgia Tech. And I mentioned my concerns about Carson Beck, which I've had going all the way back to the beginning of the year, and how he's been very reliant on his receivers making plays for him. If they do, and you brought this up a couple minutes ago, Choppy, if the ACC does steal a bid, for example, right? Let's talk about Georgia Tech and Miami both going, or maybe it's Virginia and Miami, or whatever the case may be. I'm curious who you think they steal it from. Notre Dame is in a spot where if they just run the table, they presumably will get in. A lot of these projections have them in, even if it is as a 10 or 11 seed, because they're expected to run the table and get in. They are minus 300 to make.
You know, he's a fighter and he's got some moxie to him, but I don't know. At 10-1, it feels like a premium on this Notre Dame team. So I would not really have any interest in it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, let's say Notre Dame is 10-2. Let's say Texas wins out, beats Georgia on the road. They'd be 10-2. Georgia would be 10-2. Say Tennessee wins out, they're 10-2. You've already got Ole Miss, A&M, and Bama. They're already going to be in.
Yeah.
Now you're just stacking resumes. You know, like, and don't think for a second that the name on the front of the jersey doesn't matter.
Well,
but those are all like Texas, Tennessee, Georgia. Those are big programs. It's not like you got a TCU in there who got screwed out a decade ago.
And they're all going to have big wins on their resume too, right? Mm-hmm. Because the one thing about Notre Dame is they may not have any massive wins on their conference. The two losses that they would presumably have would be two decent losses, right? Miami and Texas A&M, and Miami's on the road. So they're not going to get crushed for their losses. I just don't know, and this has been the question we've had about them since they lost those two games to open the season. Do they have enough on the schedule to have the wins to stack up against anybody in the SEC if it gets to that scenario that you're talking about, Choppy, where you got 6 2-loss or better SEC teams?
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas would have made look, Texas would have maybe the best win if they were to win at Georgia. It's a good win. You know, Georgia's would have a win at Tennessee. Tennessee wouldn't have a win on that level. You know, they would have Oklahoma and Vandy. That's not on that level, though. You know, Notre Dame doesn't have an elite win. You got to go. You're going to have to go down this. I mean, that's interesting because you could come up with a scenario where you have half a dozen SEC teams, maybe seven, that have two losses. It's a lot.
And if there's seven, somebody's getting left out, no doubt. They're not. Sure. They're not putting seven SEC teams into the playoff. Tennessee
put six in either. They're not putting six in either. I don't think.
I don't think it's likely. I think it's an outside possibility. The way you just set it up with all those two lost teams, and if it's Notre Dame, I don't know. I think that's a possibility. I want to go back to Tennessee for a second real quick. They are 3-1 to make the playoff, Choppy. We just got done talking about them against Oklahoma this weekend and how they have sort of a de facto playoff game possibly against Vanderbilt, but it's in Knoxville the final week of the regular season. They got a trip to Florida in there. I don't think that trips them up, but Tennessee at 3-1. You betting that?
Is this your first time dealing with Tennessee? you think that they're just going to go into Florida and win that game?
I wanted to reel you in.
Did you not see that South Carolina game with Hendon Hooker and Connor Stallions on the sideline? You didn't see that? You saw that. You know better than that. You know better than that. This team will let you down. They will let you down. But no, I mean, look, seriously, like they do probably control their own destiny. Win out, you're probably in. And they're going to be favored in every game. There's not a whole lot of things that you could really – they're going to be favored against – they're favored against OU. They're going to be favored against Vandy. And they'll be favored against Florida. So, yeah, I think that's a fair bet. If it was 4-1, I would probably definitely jump on it. But 3-1, yeah, that's good. Let's do it. I'm
there
in.
You go.
I'll take that odds right now.
I got you to talk yourself into it. I like that. Best bets for Week 10 this weekend. John, what do you got? What's on your board for this week?
We're going to go to UNLV. We're going to take the over 61.5, UNLV in New Mexico. This is just because UNLV wins every game in the 30s. And New Mexico is kind of the same. Like, they can score 30 to 40 every game. UNLV's off a bye, but I don't think this is going to fundamentally change anything about the way they play. They don't have a great defense, and they score a lot of points. They have to every week. So I will take 61.5. Anything in the low 60s with UNLV tends to be good.
All right. RJ is the king of the pizza money parlays. No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next payday. So use that parlay boost token inside your BetMGM app to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay this weekend and every weekend inside the BetMGM app. Choppy, what you got?
All right. I got Indiana -22 on the road at Maryland. Georgia -7. Against Florida, and give me Cal money line over Virginia.
Ooh, okay. You just talked up Virginia. Now you're betting against them.
Listen, I will talk myself in and out of everything.
Of just about anything.
Doesn't matter.
I got some looks for this weekend as well. I think Cincinnati, Utah goes under 54.5. I think Utah grinds that game to a halt, especially at altitude. I don't know if I like a side, but I think I like it to be ugly. Tennessee, I'll lay the field goal at home against Oklahoma. Make John Matthiers show me that he is back on track. I still don't know if he is. I mentioned earlier, I really like Georgia Tech this year, -5.5 at NC State. And then I'll throw a little Texas Tech laying a touchdown at K-State as well for the Red Raiders to keep it rolling. We will be back next weekend to break it all down, including the first set of CFP rankings for you. For our producer, Zach Krull, for John Martin, for RJ Choppy, I'm Chris Mack. This has been BetMGMU.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at Autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.